We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
To announce that Ron Renegade is our interim manager.
The main thing that I think that I do the best is to get most out of the players. And our focus is to try to get back in the playoffs.
Playoffs?
Dale Arnold.
I don't necessarily see him returning to New England. That's not to say he won't.
I'll give you another scoop.
99.6% Tom Brady never wears a Patriots jersey again.
Scoops everywhere.
Rich Key.
Teams do not fear the Buck.
Am I being a little Freddy scared here?
I'm not afraid of no ghost.
Dale and Keith with legendary linguist Jermaine Wiggins.
Tussaluska. Kung Fu. It's not about me cutting the sword.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I don't think you should be worried about the fact that your picture's not in the hall.
I think I should be.
You should be worried about the fact that Tom E. Curran gets a customized intro, and apparently Jermaine Wiggins gets a new one every hour.
Wow. I like that, though. I don't mind that.
That's what I'd be worried about.
A Wiggy Wednesday, you tune in every top of the hour. You don't know what's going to play. That's pretty good. That's special.
That's the great mind of the producers back there.
They don't do that for you on the Greg Hill Show.
No.
Good point.
I get a lot more here than I do the Greg Hill Show.
That's right.
They just, you know, Greg Hill is like, you got to be careful.
No trip to Florida, though.
No.
Didn't get that.
They left me out.
They sent
Fitzy threw you off
there.
The plane?
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on there. I thought I was there. The weather's 80 degrees. I'm like, I could use a nice little warm weather.
I think those guys were excited to be down there. They were off the air at 9:53 today.
Right.
That was the earliest.
They were ready to
go. The earliest we have ever been handed our show.
They must have had plans. They must have had like a nice brunch plans or something down there. But they already had more Red Sox guests than I thought they would get.
Right. One.
They had one today, yeah.
But then again, I'm glad I didn't go because after the last trip that I took with WEEI, I'm only going to travel Retrex.
Oh, yeah. We flew private.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
they
that's
were like
kind of tough to beat that.
Yeah, so they were on the back of the plane. So any trip, if they ever ask me to go on, my first question is,
how are we getting there?
Is it Retrex?
Yeah.
Because if not, I'm good.
Yeah, I'll stay home.
And
do
you get to bring Mutt to a strip club?
Well, I mean, I invite
Florida,
whoever wants
probably.
To come.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's an
all-inclusive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
that's
just,
nice.
I opened the door
I
for everybody.
I wasn't invited, were you?
I was invited. I said,
oh, were you?
Yeah.
He
said, listen.
He actually knew I wasn't going anywhere.
Well, I invited Jerry, you know, so I invite everybody. Curtis came.
He was very kind, yeah.
Yeah, so.
It's good.
You I don't discriminate.
And you
no.
give, and you give.
I am.
617-779-7...
Like a good chicken palm deal.
That's what you went for was the chicken
gives
palm.
Gives to the last bite.
No, I just buy this to read the articles.
Or a good detective on First 48.
Oh, my God. That's got it. You got to find something else.
It's just anything else.
We're going to limit you to one reference an hour. And you blew it for the final hour. That was it.
And for the next 3 weeks worth of shows.
That's it. Sorry.
He's used them all up.
Well, I got some good bank robber analogies.
I know. That lasted for a while. That was during the season. Now you're all your
postseason. Because I think people can relate to bank robberies.
Well, I don't know if they can.
And murder in the first 48.
I don't know if they can.
I think a lot of people that listen go, okay.
I don't think anybody can. I shouldn't say anybody. I don't think a lot of people can relate to a bank robbery.
I think they can. The Town was a big hit.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Right. So
classic.
You're selling people short.
Yeah, you're right.
So the Red Sox began pitchers and catchers workouts today, first day of actual workouts. And a non-roster invitee is a catcher by the name of Juan Centeno. And the reason I bring him up is that Peter Abrahams wrote about him today. Juan Centeno was 27 years old, the 2017 season. When he was signed by the Houston Astros, he started the season in the minors, was called up for two games in May before he joined the team in August. Now, this is Peter Abrahams talking to Juan today down at spring training. He said he knew what was going on. The Astros were using a video feed adjacent to the dugout of Minute Maid Park to steal signs from the opposing catcher. Quote, "They weren't doing it the first time I was called up," Centeno said Wednesday, "but when I came back up, they were. Everybody knew it." As a catcher, Centeno didn't like the idea that signs were being stolen, but he went along with it because he didn't want to cause any waves in the clubhouse of a powerhouse first-place team. He, you know, he's a guy.
He's really not in a position to do anything
just
at the time.
He says, I went along with it. I didn't feel good talking about it.
Yeah.
I don't feel good talking about it now.
Right.
But I did.
Yeah, because, like, you don't want to be a rat, but at the same time, you're like, well, this isn't right. But if you're a young player like that, or even just a not a starter, right? Even if you're a bench, even if you're a little bit older, but you're not really a significant piece of the team, you're like, oh, man, like, I'll just kind of stay out of it. You guys are obviously doing it this way.
So that guy who did the research about the banging on the trash can, Tony Adams, he revealed Centeno heard 13 bangs on the trash can when he was up to the plate at different times.
How long did this take
Oh, forever.
So how about this? This guy chronicled every pitch of the 2017 Astros season, and he did this in a much shorter time than Major League Baseball has investigated the Red Sox. This guy by himself
went through
every single Astros game and pitch and marked everything down so he knows the games, the pitchers, the hitters, the catchers, everything.
So Juan Centeno said, it wasn't right. I knew that. But what could I say? You can steal signs if you're on second base and you can see the catcher, but what they were doing was different.
Right.
He then added, maybe I got some hits because I knew the pitch. I probably did. I would apologize to any pitchers if I did. It wasn't right.
Yeah, I hated it, but it worked, and I did.
But how far back do you think this thing goes, right? Think about it. So the originator or the mastermind of it, wasn't it some like...
Intern,
right?
It was an intern who came up with it. Although there's kind of... I don't know if it's conflicting reports or not, but the intern in the Wall Street Journal... article.
Who's now got a real job.
He came up with it and it had a PowerPoint presentation, which I think is important.
Excel spreadsheet thing.
You mean business. If you show up and you go, oh, can I connect to your computers in here? Is there a pull down? Like, can we do that? Mm-hmm. That means you've done your homework. Maybe you had a briefcase.
But this was an Astros intern.
Yes.
So
my question is, they also said that Carlos Beltran
came
from the Yankees and was like, oh, you guys aren't doing it right. So I don't know exactly who was...
Okay,
the first
so I guess the question I would ask is, if Beltran said that, you ain't doing it right. There's always been kind of sign stealing and cheating in baseball.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, it's probably the more and more technology, we know the Red Sox were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So to believe that this thing isn't deeper and goes all, crosses all teams, are we that naive?
No, it's I don't know if they were all doing it as well or as often or as prominently or whatever, but... Everybody was trying to do something.
Before Beltran gets to the Yankees, he's playing with the Cardinals.
Before the Yankees, you mean.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Doing something there?
Sure.
Right. And you know, in the world of sports, so say Alex Cora, you don't think he has really good friends? Everybody talked about how he was such a good guy and he was well-liked throughout baseball. You don't think he has close friends and they, you know, hanging with each other down in the DR and goes, listen, I got a great idea if you're ever interested.
But let me ask you, though, Wiggy, from an athlete's perspective, that... You know, and we've all heard this. What happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. What happens in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse. Mike Fiers was getting clobbered in a lot of places because he's the one who said, yeah, this is what we were doing. Mm-hmm. We did it. You're in the locker room for the Patriots, and I don't even know what you could do to cheat, but you know we're doing something here. We're deflating
football. Well, this is going to make me a better player. It's going to help me out.
Right. So would you ever tell?
No, but if somebody told me and they say, hey, listen, you know what? I can help you get 25, 30 plus more hits a year, which might entail get me a bigger contract.
Yeah, you're going to do it.
So you do it. You wouldn't say anything.
No, but then I would tell somebody that I'm really cool with that me and him have a good relationship and say, hey, listen, you know what? You ever think about, wanting to get a little extra?
Just spreads.
Yeah, it spreads. It's like,
the
coronavirus.
Like Fiers is the first one who said it. He got killed for it in some places. Yeah. Jessica Mendoza's killing him on ESPN for it.
She lost a couple jobs.
This Juan Centeno, this catcher, he said he was almost relieved when the story broke because he says, look, I'm a catcher. I know how tough it is with signs. We always have to change them, be careful about what the other team is doing. It's not a good thing for the game. I can see where a catcher would say, all right, I get a benefit when I'm at the plate, but.
Well, oh, yeah.
This is hurting what I'm doing.
Pitchers are getting screwed all over the place. They're juicing the baseballs, and these ballparks are smaller and smaller, and then they know the sign. Like, you're not doing them any favors. And it's almost like I think Major League Baseball viewed this as, listen, we want runs. We want home runs. This is helping the hitters, like everything else we're doing. We're not going to put a stop to it. We're going to allow this to keep going. but we also can't let everybody know about it. Same thing as the steroids. Everybody's socking dingers. Everybody loves it. But, oh, wait a minute. Now everybody knows about it. Well, we hate this, and we're going to put a stop to it.
But, so see, if you're in a locker room, right, and you know that you got guys who are doing bad stuff.
Right.
You're not saying anything, right?
No, because you got to understand, right? There's
until you get traded or until you get released.
Well, it depends on if somebody did you wrong, right? There's two factions to this, unlike any other sport. Because baseball, it's pitchers who don't like this. Hitters...
Nor would they.
Right, but hitters are all for this.
And then catchers are kind of caught in between. Because they're like, well, listen, they're stealing my signs that I, you know, and if this is happening all the time. And you knew something was up. I remember, I don't know what year it was, but I knew something was up when, because, you know, you always get that one view when you're watching a baseball game on TV, right? You're behind the pitcher, and you can see the hitter, the catcher, the umpire, and you can see the signs.
Often you hear X saying, oh, here comes a fastball.
Right, and it's very simple. But I remember watching a game, I don't know how many years ago it was, and there was nobody on base, and the catcher was doing multiple signs. And I was like, why the hell is he doing multiple signs? Like, I get it.
Now we know why.
Hell, playing Babe Ruth baseball, or Little League, we started doing multiple signs. And so you're like, you get it, but that's when a guy was on second. And as long as the catcher isn't dumb and putting his hand to, like, in the dirt where the third base coach can see it, if you're just putting it right there, then why are you doing multiple signs unless you're paranoid that they're already got a guy in center field or a video camera on it? And so teams were definitely aware of it. It was just a matter of, how much it was happening.
You heard that catcher say it. Yeah, I did it, and it helped me out. I was able to.
Did I get a few more hits? He's like, yes.
So if you know,
although I mean, I got to be honest, his numbers weren't that great. Games in August and September, he was 5 for 25 at the plate, but he did only strike out 3 times. So maybe it helped him in that regard.
But also,
he said,
"What would he have?
Maybe
been
I got some hits because I knew the pitch. I probably did. You know, as you said." He hit 200 at home, so it's not like...
Right, but if he's a player that's not getting... If, say, you're getting your Jose Altuve, you're getting a ton of at-bats.
Oh, yeah, and if Jose Altuve knows, I got the fastball coming this time.
Don't you think that would benefit you as a player to go, okay, man, my numbers can grow, and what is this going to do for me when I get ready to sign a contract? Think about how much money I'm going to then be able to make if I don't have this. And that's where I think it where it spreads throughout the game, because now these guys have good friends with people. And so who knows who Jose Altuve is friends with? And he says, hey, listen, you know, here's a great scheme. You guys can do it. You might want to bring it into your locker room. You know, just don't say anything, but it's great. The hitters will love it. I think it's an advantage.
From 2014 to 2017, Jose Altuve led the league in hits and led the league in batting average 3 of the 4 years. And in 2017, which again is the year that's really under question, but again, I wouldn't rule out previous years of doing something. But anyway, 2017 was his MVP year.
And you don't think there are teammates on his team going, man, you're ripping the ball. What are you doing? And he goes, hey, because we're good. We hang out. Our wives know each other. Our kids play together. Hey, listen, I'm going to bring you in on something.
Wear this buzzer.
Yeah, I'm going to bring, whatever it is, I'm going to bring you in on something.
All you got to do is wear that here. Put this on and I'll,
you know what?
2 clicks.
I want you to meet me at Five Guys with Alex Cora afterwards. We got a little something we're going to, and now Cora brings you in and says, oh. So players will do that if they know it's going to benefit them and if that benefit potentially might lead to more money.
All right, back to the calls. Phil's up in Maine. Hey, Phil.
Hey, great show, guys.
Thank you.
As a transplant from Oakland, I want to preface this. The Wiggy is way off the mark here. I mean, come on. Just because you guys get caught and nobody else does, it makes it okay? Come on.
What do you mean makes it okay? Who says that it's okay?
Just because everybody's cheating that it makes cheating okay.
No, but baseball. Who said it was okay?
I don't remember what I'm saying.
Yeah,
no, but I think you're apologizing for the Red Sox because you think everybody else is doing it.
I'm not apologizing for anybody. I'm just saying you know what? When in Rome, do as the Romans do.
Yeah, he's probably saying
No. Well, that's apologizing.
Well, but it's not
when
really
in Rome, do as Rome
but
does.
But if somebody's doing it and you know that it can get to you and it can maybe give you the benefit, you're saying that nobody's going to do it. So then why not? Astros pitchers standing up in the locker room going, no, we're not going to allow this?
So don't take the
supposedly guys were mad. Supposedly Verlander didn't like it at all. And Mike Fiers obviously didn't like it.
But you would think there'd be more whistleblowers if they really didn't like it, right?
It's a tough position. And I said to you, you're in a locker room. Mm-hmm. You know you got a guy cheating. You going to blow the whistle on him?
Well, see, I think it
you're
makes
not.
It, I think it makes it a little bit. That's why I said it makes it a little bit difficult in football versus baseball, because in baseball, the pitchers and the hitters, they're kind of separate, right? Even though they're teammates, they do different things.
Yeah, but it's the same in your locker room, Wiggy. Offense, defense. You know, you're kind of separate, but you're on the same team.
But we know that if it's going to help us win, I mean, you're not really saying nothing. I don't think anybody's saying anything. Verlander, if Verlander's that upset, he's got enough juice where he could say something and shut it down. But he knows that it's helping his team.
Yeah, but Verlander was also the same guy that was so disgusted, as he should be, about the domestic violence stuff in baseball.
Right.
And then they traded for Osuna, and he's like,
he's our
closer.
Right.
So, I mean.
Like, if we were able to get, like, some type of information.
But if Verlander hated it, just hated it, he's not going public with that. In the same way you wouldn't do it on one of your teammates. You wouldn't blow the whistle.
And it gets to the point where it's happening so long now that I think it's even harder to turn back. And then even after the fact. So now what? It's your World Series is tainted? You just won the World Series
in
17.
It is.
And, oh, it 100% is.
Yeah.
But it was less so when the public didn't know about it.
But you don't think, Verlander and the rest of that pitching staff at that point in time have enough juice to do like a team meeting and say, hey, listen, we need to stop this. You think he's just being oblivious and saying,
I think he knew, but it's like, you know, what am I going
to see? Well, what's crazy is, so the whole team. Because now, all right, the pitchers didn't like it. Apparently, A.J. Hinch didn't like it.
See, I'm not buying that they didn't like it.
I don't take Hinch off the hook at all. He's the manager. He has to do it.
I'm just saying.
But I can see where if I'm a pitcher on the team, I hate it. I'm a pitcher. My job's hard enough as it is. I'm not gonna rat out my...
I don't think you hate it that much because you know it's helping you win.
Right.
Because if you really hated it that much,
right,
you would step up if you had that type of juice, which Verlander has that type of juice,
right,
to say, you know, players only meet. We're doing
and
this.
Supposedly, Brian McCann did just that, according to Rosenthal and Drellick.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Beltran and said, hey, man, we got to stop this stuff. And Beltran said, screw you, we're going to do it.
See, I don't buy that because
Beltran's a 40-year-old future Hall of Famer, perhaps. You know, Brian McCann's a 33-year-old journeyman at that point.
Well, that's, yeah, but he was a good player, too. He had a career.
I feel like if you know that there's something going on.
But, I mean, Beltran was, like, as far as on the field, wasn't any help. It was off the field.
Right. Yeah,
at that point.
But I think players that have a certain cachet, a certain juice, if they really didn't like it, they would step up and they would say something to their teammates.
I just disagree with you, man. I think that's a tough position.
No, I think
for any player on any team.
I think what Verlander did is goes, yeah, I really don't like it, but guess what? It's helping us win games. That's where I think I think that's what most players would say.
Yeah, and again, I relate this all the time to the steroids thing, but if there were guys on the team, not all 25 guys did steroids.
No.
Right.
But there's probably a couple of guys that see another moonshot by Mark McGwire. But is somebody going to go up to him and be like, hey, Mark,
right,
wouldn't you feel better about doing this clean? You're just like, hey, we're hitting home runs.
They might not agree with it. They might go, yeah, they might be at the bar hanging with their friends. Yeah, McGwire's a juice head, but guess what? He's helping us win games.
Right.
617-779-7937. John's in Easton. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Doing great.
So I have a question first about the salary cap in the NFL. Then I want to make a point about Brady. If they just, for instance, if they said we'll give you 2 years and 50 guaranteed and they paid 30 of it as a signing bonus, how does that affect the salary cap hit?
Well, you've still got to have the AAV is the issue that you have here. It's not like you can, you know, I'm going to pay 40 of the $50 million in a signing bonus, so that won't count towards the average annual value. Yes, it will.
Okay, so the whole thing counts against the cap.
Yeah, I mean, sooner or later, you've got to pay the cap hit, yes.
Okay, all right.
But there's always ways to manipulate the cap.
Well, you can front-load the contract, but then they break it down to AAV.
Okay, well, that's what I was, because that's what you always hear. So, I mean, the whole thing about, is he interested in money? Is he interested about winning? And from Bill's perspective, if they bring in a Marcus Mariota or an Andy Dalton, they still have to go out and get a tight end. They still have to go out and get another receiver. And then for Josh McDaniels to take, other than Edelman for the most part, all new pieces and try to get them to mold to this offense, the Patriots aren't going to succeed. I just got to believe that if they can find a way to guarantee some guys, like maybe go to Tampa Bay and trade for an O.J. Howard, who's got 2 years on his contract. He's a good tight end that Tampa Bay's not using. And if they can get some guys before free agency like that, where Brady says, now you're talking, maybe they have more leverage. So I'm going to let you comment on that.
I mean, 100%. They got to figure out a way to get more talent around Brady, but the timetable is going to be tough. Like, I think it's going to be a lot of promises.
I don't know how it can happen before March 18th.
Be like, hey, this is what we're working on. I mean, I guess you could try to figure it out with other teams.
But it's got to be with every team, because it doesn't matter unless you're going to a team that already has those weapons in place.
Yeah, but the point is, you would think the Patriots would normally have sort of a leg up in that situation. Like, best chance to win, best teammates or whatever would be, oh, the Patriots, right? But it's not. It's either in the middle or at the bottom of a lot of those. If you just look at tight ends, wide receivers, running backs,
right,
all these different teams, they're all as good, if not better, than the Pats.
But
they all have an opportunity to add to their team. In fact, some of them have a better chance to add to their team.
But you only realistically, when you look at that, because if it's all about, you know, Brady wanting to go to a spot, on paper, it's the Chargers and it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Now, I think Tennessee still.
Now, Dallas, but they have to re-sign
Derrick Henry. Yes, they will. That'll be their top priority.
But you don't.
Well, they'll franchise him.
But you don't know.
Yeah, right. They can keep him. They can do the transition tag or whatever.
But you don't know that if you're Brady, right?
No. They could say flat out, no, Tom, we're going to franchise him. He's not going anywhere.
Okay. That would be part of it, right?
But when Dallas,
you know you got Ezekiel Elliott. Right. There's no guarantee you're getting Amari Cooper back.
And you could tag him. I think he comes back. I think they give him the money.
But you have to wait. Do they tag Prescott?
All these teams. Oh, you're right. Yeah, they'd have to tag Prescott.
Transition Amari Cooper.
Right. Or you come up with some sort of long-term deal with
Leaning in that same direction.
I just think all
these
teams.
Can't wait to talk to him Friday.
Oh, it's going to be great. But all these
He'll talk to me.
If they bring in Brady, I don't think they would just stop there either, right? They're all going to aggressive. Because they know we're bringing in a 43-year-old quarterback. We have a 1 or 2 year window. So if that means we've got to load up, and if we're going to screw ourselves against the cap
pay the piper down the road.
Tom has to believe in them to do that, right?
Oh, of course.
The same way you could do it in New England. Bill could go, listen, we're going to load up. We're going to do everything we need to do.
Yeah.
We're going to get you as many weapons as possible. So it's based on whether or not you believe that they're going to do that.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We get right back to the calls with you. Wiggy's in the house. What else you got? It's coming up at about 1:45. It's Dale and Keefe, and we've got a trend.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
617-779-7937. Two quick notes courtesy of Pedro Gomez. He's got video of Mike Fiers throwing his first official bullpen of the spring, but he notes that Fiers was not in the clubhouse during the open media session this morning. They may be trying to keep him out of the line of fire for a little bit, given what's going on. He also says A's manager Bob Melvin said it took someone from the Astros clubhouse, meaning Mike Fiers, to push Major League Baseball to seriously investigate sign stealing. Melvin said the A's had registered complaints before and got nothing for it.
It's such a tough spot to be in for Mike Fiers. You know, just like as another player, now you're looking at him and you're like, all right, well, what if we do something? Maybe not as crazy as that, right? But you're always kind of looking over your shoulder. Like, is he going to tell on us? And what he did was probably for the betterment of the game, because I still think all the sign stealing slows the game down. Everybody's so paranoid. It's a million signs. It's a million conferences. It's a million step off the mounds. I think a lot of it is that. So I think Mike Fiers is helping the game in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
But as a teammate, you're looking at him like, well, that's the guy who ratted out everybody. Like, that's a tough spot.
And he's probably looking at it like, man, there are all these people. There are a lot of people that knew what was going on, but I was the only one with the guts to maybe say something. But the only reason why he said something, because he had been scorned.
Oh, yeah.
He's not on the team anymore. Yeah, he's not just saying this just because he loves the game so much.
Wouldn't you like to know, and maybe he said it and I've just missed it, what was Fire's motivation? Like you said, was he scorned?
He had to be.
He was so upset about what they were doing. He said he registered complaints. They said, screw you, we're doing it. And he finally just said, I got to get this off my chest. I don't know what it was.
I don't know what it was either. I also wonder if he realized how big this was going to turn into. Like, there's a lot of times when somebody kind of releases either like a secret or basically rats somebody
but
else
usually
out.
Usually, when they do that, is because they're upset at the person.
They could be. So he played 2017 with the Astros, mm-hmm. and then but that was the last year of his deal. So it's not like they released him or anything. And then he was a free agent and he signed with the Tigers. Then now he's on the A's, but so. Or he got traded from the Tigers to the A's. But so it's not, I don't know. He still has a job in baseball. It's not like that other guy, Bollinger, that we were talking about. Like, he's still playing. So.
Maybe that when he was with the Astros, he didn't like the way they treated him. For me, I think it's something more along those lines. He didn't like the way they treated him. It was just something. He did not like people in the Astros organization for whatever it was. I don't think it was him just going, you know what? I don't like this. I'm a historian of the game. I love the purity of the game.
Mean, yeah, who knows?
But it is more likely that if somebody's going to be mad about it, it's going to be a pitcher, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going, geez, it's already hard enough. You've got juiced baseballs and everything else, and now you're going to do this to me too?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I think other sports, it's a little bit more difficult because there's no, like, even though you're on defense, you guys are working together for the common goal of you're not doing something like individually.
No, it's hard to have a similar comparison in any other sport just because it is a team sport.
Although you came up with a good one for football.
Yeah, I think in football it would essentially be the other way. It'd be the defense benefiting. If you knew, you wouldn't know the exact play, but say it was as simple as run pass and one bang was run, one play. And that alone, now there are ways to do it. There's, of course, the run pass option, which might throw things off. But just if it's straight up run.
But if you're
run,
a defender and you knew they're running this play.
Right. Think about it.
Or they're throwing this
play.
If
you're a linebacker and your assignment on that play is to cover the tight end, but you know that he's not going out for a pass, like that's a pretty significant help.
Right. It's a little bit of a nice little advantage for you.
And as a guy on the offensive side of the ball,
right.
If you knew your defense had that advantage, you're not giving them up.
No, because I know it's helping me as I know it's helping the team,
right.
Which then when you help the team, now that means it's going to be maybe more opportunities for me to catch the ball. Mm-hmm. We're going to do better. We're going to have a chance to win. So it's I don't look at it going like, whereas a pitcher, even though it's your teammate, you look at it and go, but those my brother and pitchers out there are just this game is I think is a
now,
little.
Now, there are guys. Let's be honest. I don't know if this is Mike Fiers or not. There are guys who hate the idea of winning by cheating. Who just philosophically hate it. They don't say, hey, it's helping my team. So,
well, it seems like McCann might have been one of the
But those guys would be vocal in the locker room.
And McCann supposedly was, and they said, screw you, we're doing it.
Yeah, and he was outnumbered, too.
Right.
And also, they're like, hey, you don't even play every day. Jose Altuve is having an MVP season. He's like, I'm going to keep this going. Right? Whether it was Springer or Bregman, all those guys had really good years. And like, well, we're gonna keep this going, and then we're going to ultimately win the whole thing.
I mean, I'll give McCann the benefit of the doubt because he's a player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving A.J. Hinch any benefit of the
he
doubt.
He seems like an idiot, really, in this whole thing, and a guy that just got walked all over, or a liar. Like, when it comes to A.J. Hinch, were you on board with the cheating, or were you not? And if you were on board, why were you pretending to, like, pull out the plugs and smash monitors? But if you weren't on board, how are you going to let Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran be the biggest voice in the clubhouse?
But if you really are upset, and you are McCann, or you are
specifically Hinch. Hinch is the manager.
Right, no, but if you're one of the players and you really are upset, I think you would easily be able to say anonymously to a reporter, to somebody, where you can kind of say it and not have to worry about the backlash that may come.
What's interesting though is
that's a tough thing to do.
And
but
that's what happens
if you're super. If you're like, I don't like this at all, you could say, "Hey, off the record."
That is what happened with the Red Sox, and because the three different people. Now it could be all players, it could be all front office people,
or coaches, or whoever.
Like, but three sources with the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. All expose them to the Athletic, but because they didn't attach their names to it, it doesn't seem like it's really going very far.
But you could easily say, and this is why I say, yeah, maybe they might be upset, but at the end of the day, if they look and go that it's helping us win, I think they go the winning is more important. Because you could easily say, hey, to a reporter. And a lot of players have good relationships with reporters,
yeah,
especially off-the-record relationships.
Okay, listen to the trash can.
Yeah, yeah. That's all you got to do is, hey, listen, here's what these guys are doing.
Hey, we're not in Cleveland. That guy with the big drum isn't sitting out in left field.
Listen,
if you're hearing that, it's not coming from him.
Fastball.
We're cheating because we know the signs, but listen for the trash cans. And so now this reporter will dig, and he'll find it out, and this thing would have been exposed a lot earlier if they were really disappointed and want to see, and they, you know, guys really wanted to see change.
Tony's in Mystic. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
I was going to talk about the whistleblowers, how Wiggy was talking that he feels that somebody, if they really felt a certain way, like they're going to come out and talk, like Brian McCann or something. I mean, I don't see how anybody would do that because they're going to look at it as, hey, it's benefiting me. And why am I going to spoil the fun? It's sort of like if a football
or even if
team
it's not
something.
Benefiting me, it's benefiting my teammates.
Right.
Somebody's getting a benefit out of it.
Exactly. Like I'm going to compare it to like if a football team went out on Lake Minnetonka or something like that, and you know, hey, it's going to benefit everybody, huh, Wiggy?
Yeah, I mean, you would just be one of those things where you would say, listen, whatever you do, make sure that you guys are doing things as a team.
That's right. Bonding.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's
team
all
bonding.
About team bonding.
Just like the 2005 Vikings.
Brought them closer together.
It's a team bonding. We made the playoffs. I mean, granted, we were able to beat the Green Bay Packers, and we lost to the Eagles, but...
It's a good Eagles team.
Yeah, it was a very good Eagles team.
What are you going to do?
It's all about team bonding.
Mm-hmm.
House is in Dorchester. Hey, House.
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's up, House? House?
All right, so check this out. First off, I want to say, did y'all see the game last night? That was the refs in the NBA out of worst.
Yeah. It took you till last night to figure that out, House?
No, they're not great.
I'm just saying, but last night we beat the Rockets. Even though Jaylen Brown had two broke ankles, we still beat them. The rest took it from us, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And then I want to ask you this, Dale and Wiggy.
Yo.
And Mr. Keith, listen. If they gave Tom Brady, say they gave him a high signing bonus, right? And they said, okay, the rest of the money, we're going to give it to you in incentives that they know he's going to make just to satisfy him on the money part, which I don't believe it's about money with him, mm-hmm. but just to satisfy him on the money part, can they manipulate it that way?
Yeah. Yeah, they could say.
And that way, exactly. In that way,
you're still going to have to pay it.
Yeah,
so you're still going to pay the salary cap hit at some point. May not be this year, but you're going to pay it.
Right, they're going to pay it. And then as far as the baseball goes, I want to know, can we boil this down to, because we're all looking at it the like so many different ways, but I don't know if I heard anybody say blackmail, because the whistleblower could have been trying to blackmail his team to do either give him more money or trade him anything, and then he said, I'm going to tell this if you don't. Because
I don't think
Boston
the timing
has a problem is somebody whistleblowing.
Thanks, House. I think the timing, at least for fires, doesn't make sense because he'd already moved on from the Astros
and he
was on another team. Going back to the Brady point, and everybody's talking about like the salary cap and everything. Do you guys feel like there's any chance that a Brady deal to the Patriots doesn't happen one way or the other? Either the Patriots say this is too much, or Brady says it's not enough based on a couple of million bucks.
No,
no chance.
No.
I agree with that. No chance. What it's going to be is either they just have such a low number, the Patriots, or Team X has such a high number, or the players around, like they can't promise him receivers and tight ends and things like that. It's not going to get to a point where, I don't know, our salary cap is this, and we'll give you 27, and he's like, oh, I want 29.
Right.
No, they'll figure that part out.
They're going to be close enough
to
where they could say, all right, Tom, we might not be able to give you 33,
but we're
giving you 27.
Yeah.
What else you got's coming up next? Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, before Wiggy gets completely creeped out here.
Yeah, this is...
Let's get to a couple of things that we missed earlier in the show.
What else you got?
Wiggy?
Ian Rappaport. could he be one of the greatest insiders ever, or do we believe anything he says? Well, he was back at it again.
It's one of the two.
Rap Sheet talked a little bit about Andy Dalton, potentially the Patriots' future quarterback, and here's what he had to say.
My understanding is, according to someone briefed of the team's plans, they are going to work with Andy Dalton to facilitate a trade out of Cincinnati when the time is right. And they are not someone who needs to keep quiet their draft plans. They have number one. They can do whatever they want with it. And you're right. Everyone assumes they are going to take Joe Burrow, or at the very least, a quarterback. And this is something that has been communicated to Dalton, Mike. They value Dalton. They want to work with him. And they're not going to do anything that puts him in a bad spot or that he does not agree with going forward.
Well, it just shows you how bad of an organization the Cincinnati Bengals are, because if you're willing to say you're willing to work with a guy, won't all the other teams go, you know what, let's just wait. We're not going to give you what you want.
They also, they benched him the week after the trade deadline last year, and he was all pissed about it, remember? So I don't think they're doing everything in his best interest.
Just cut him.
What else you got?
Rich.
Kendrick Perkins, friend of the show. He'll actually be on with us tomorrow.
He will. I forgot.
He was a part of the Celtics broadcast last night where, once again, couldn't help himself.
You know, when I was playing for the Celtics, I never really focused on the crowd or the fans. I was so locked in. But now that I'm an analyst and I'm retired, it's amazing how many Celtics fans there are around the world.
No doubt.
Do you hear these chants right now?
Yeah.
Let's go Celtics. And Kyrie Irving didn't want to play for this franchise. Every time I think of that guy, I want to throw up.
They're talking about the fans.
What a throw up.
Spins it into Kyrie Irving being awful.
Attaboy, Kendrick.
Yep, I like it.
What else you got?
So Nathan Eovaldi was on the Greg Hill Show this morning, live in Fort Myers at JetBlue Park. And one of the things he talked about was Alex Cora being taken away from the Red Sox for this season.
Pretty much everything.
That's all we hear. So pretty much everything.
You don't want to see anybody lose their job. And it's like, we almost feel like it was like taken away from us because of the things. It was over there with the Astros. And I've never had a manager who could relate to you so well. You know what I mean? He was always talking to everybody. And I mean, I felt like that was kind of everyone in the Red Sox organization, from the top, you know, the front office and guys down on the field, you know, Puerto Rico, everywhere.
So he said Alex was taken away from us. He also didn't see anything in terms
well,
of
then
cheating
he should be
last
pissed
year.
At John Henry.
Last
Heim
year,
Bloom.
He said, yeah.
He should be, because if they didn't do anything here, and
why,
he got rid of the guy.
They pulled the plug too early.
MLB hasn't suspended him yet.
Nope.
All right, so we got to get Wiggy out of here. He is so nervous sitting in this studio right now.
Some bad juju in here.
So like Christian came in. He turned off all the lights. He's got candles all around the room.
Yep.
And I said to Wiggy, I said, they've got a psychic coming in, not a ghost hunter, well, and he's still freaked out.
Yeah, so Lou's wife wanted to make sure that we set the mood. She said, listen, don't start off with bad energy. You're gonna screw up the reading.
Yeah.
So we want a legitimate reading on Tom Brady, where he's going to go. Forget this board. Forget about the who's got all the scoops. You, Sheila Marie, tell us what's going to happen.
Okay, you open up that door and you
That's
invite
right.
somebody in you
yes.
don't want. Next thing you know, your youngest kid is climbing up the wall backwards.
I feel like what's going to happen today is it's going to be very emotional, more emotional than you are anticipating. Glenn could be in tears by the end of this.
Yeah.
Because you're going to start out talking about Tom Brady, but first she's going to talk about you.
Well, see, that is so, okay, yourself. So you're on
and
it.
It's
so
been
you're right. Okay,
a blast.
So but that's how I want to start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
the big fella, you know, thinks he's a big tough guy, outer shell, nothing can break me. I'm from Lynn. No, we're going to start with a quick little reading and kind of, you know, get the temperature of the room, get her comfortable, get us comfortable, and then get into what the hell is actually going
on
with
Brady.
Have
you ever dealt with a psychic before?
Yes, did you hear my call from 2014?
I have a couple of times.
I have.
So
I
is
went,
this lady
did you
talk
hear
to...
what I did in 2014? I actually went. We played it yesterday. From 2014, I was walking around New York City, found a psychic, and recorded a reading.
She sold him a real Rolex for $24.
How was it? Why did it have an A in it?
So is she get this? She also this lady talked to the dead too.
She's a medium. Yes.
Oh, okay.
The police user. She's world renowned. She's very popular.
Wiggy's out of
here
now.
For us to
she's
get gonna to
be
her.
Like, I'm sensing a.
Hey, give me something that you had. Give me like a. Give me a like something of yours. I'm gonna have her hold
nope.
it.
Yes.
I'm gonna
wanna,
have her hold it.
I don't want to touch none of my stuff.
What? No. Just
none of my. I don't. I told you. I don't want my kids walking up the walls backwards.
Your kids. It's you
spitting green vomit. She's gonna be. be like Glenn Ordway. I'm hearing a older black gentleman from the other side saying that it's wait a second, is that Havlicek? What you want me to tell Glenn? Hold on,
that's
ball movement.
We're getting to Kyrie Irving.
Peel the curtain from the sausage is what I would really like.
That's what we're gonna have to do.
You guys are gonna have Havlicek on the show today.
That'll be fine.
So just sage the place. She's coming in this afternoon with you.
Yeah, she can't do this over the phone.
3:30. Yeah, and we are gonna take some calls. If we got some good ones, we'll take them. But they have to be
sports related. Keith, you want
to
call in?
I believe in all this stuff. I'm not necessarily as scared as Wiggy is, but I think there's going to be some stuff going on.
See, Wiggy's already. I've offered to bring Wiggy on ghost hunts with
Open
me.
Open your
says,
mind.
No,
I would do that, but I would be on your leg like a 3-year-old.
Yeah,
that freaks me out.
Yep. Nope.
Does she read palms?
I don't know. Maybe
she probably does it all.
Does she have a crystal ball, or is that too wonky?
That's too too out there.
She might be able to read the crystal ball.
That's as hokey as our WEEI scoops leaderboard over there.
Have you not?
We'll get to it later.
I know.
Have you not seen Annabelle?
I've seen Annabelle. You already walked back the New York Post thing. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, they were all over you. It wasn't opinion. It wasn't a source. Like, I want to make that clear. Like, all I gave it a brand new. Could be educated opinion, but I didn't say that. I just said that's my opinion.
I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know what to believe.
You should have had her on. You probably should have had her on about 2 weeks ago because she could have told you about Mel Tucker.
Yeah, I know, right? I know. Oh, man. That's a whole other issue.
I started the show with you today.
You know that whole connection I was helping you with in Iowa? I may have to kind of, slip my son in there now instead of yours.
OMF is coming up next. The psychic will be on with him as well. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Peter King will join us. Kendrick Perkins will join us. Andrew Raycroft will take Bruins calls in studio from noon to 1. Tomorrow. We got a lot of stuff going on. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Who owes Jose Altuve?
That's all, folks.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.